Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Connor?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, well, you all wrapped up, man. Yeah, still got your hoodie on. I guess they call this crisp weather, right?
They call this extremely cold weather.
Okay.
No, Wisconsinites call this crisp.
Yeah.
Crisp is good.
And so by now you know who that voice is. It's Friday. It's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy. Is it crisp?
Yeah, it's because, you know, Mother Nature must have an Apple Watch or something. She looks at it, noticed that yesterday was the first day of fall, and thought, oh, God. I got to install fall.
Yeah.
And so she installed fall yesterday at about 4:45 in the afternoon. It went from pretty darn warm, pretty summery, into descending temperatures. I was out on the river coaching and froze my tail off, and this morning, it's downright cold. It's much closer to freezing this morning than it is to 70 degrees.
Well, you know, in Milwaukee, because we're so close to the lake,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot warmer than it is
out here in Waukesha.
Yeah, in certain places, it's, you know, well, the water is still warm at the lake.
Yes.
Yeah, it hasn't cooled off, so you can see 10, 15 degrees difference in temperatures.
Well, you can tell. I looked out on the river this morning, and there's fog coming up off the water. It was like the Scottish moors in the morning or something. It was very murky, but it was. But all of that told me it's cold outside. And
yeah.
It was.
Well, for all the people who love, I can tell Connor, man, there are people who love this kind of weather.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them.
Mm-hmm. You're not a deer hunter now. You get gets that red-blooded American deer hunting stuff.
Well, hey. There was a time when I was a two-legged deer hunter.
Oh.
But
I see.
Not you been a while.
Yeah, did you have to have a license for
that? it's been so long ago, I've almost forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was a figment of my imagination. Well, could it have been?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
We could call that delusional.
Yeah. though, Sandy, it is, I mean, we know it's coming, right? I mean, what are we talking about,
yeah,
man?
It didn't have to come at 4:42 yesterday afternoon so suddenly. It's just, if you'd like to be equipped for it, you know, you'd like to have the right jacket on, you'd like to,
yeah.
You don't have to do it. Yeah.
Well, you know, we've been living off of house money for a long time. This has been, we forget just how nice summer.
Yeah.
Actually,
when I was growing up, my birthday's in early September, and it was frequently not warm on my birthday. Now, for the last years, it's always been just a summer day.
You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, really, it's been more than what anybody could ask for. It's easy to forget it with one cold morning, right? To forget exactly how nice we've had it. And now it's gone.
Whoa.
Earl's gone. It's gone.
He's playing raps again now.
He's oh my God.
Yeah, play that again, man.
What's he going to play now?
I'll let you. Oh. He'll let you know, because today is the right time for him to play this.
This is Baby It's Cold Outside?
No. Something a little different than Baby It's Cold Outside.
the ode to summer.
Yeah,
summer is over. I mean, yeah. Officially.
Sandy, you're gonna
have to be over.
You got a lot of people who love you They're not going to like hearing you say that. But you know, we don't. Over. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just looking at the official. I'm just looking at the official calendar. It ended. Yeah. Well, on the calendar, everyone says the 21st, but I think according to the sort of astrological or astronomical determinants of summer and fall, I think it was yesterday.
Should we be speaking through this?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I shouldn't, probably. There we go.
All right. It was a great time, right? I mean, it was just a great summer. You know, the one thing we know for sure, we're not going to get what we had this year, next year.
You and I, Earl, are in the autumns of our lives.
Do you have to remind me of
just
that?
Just telling you. I might even be winter. I'm not sure.
You know, though, what we do know is that this was a record-breaking year. We probably had more 90s than we've ever had. If not, we were close to it, to the record for 90s. Most consecutive days of 90.
We did this year.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We had 100 degrees.
Huh.
You don't remember that?
I don't.
I say remember. You don't remember any of that?
No. All I know, but the world. There's no question. The world is getting hotter, and all these. You know, the weather portion of the news. I'm not sure that weather, when I was growing up, was a significant part of the news every day. But now it's one of the boxes that is checked by every news service, whether it's Fox News or whatever. They're covering now. It's Hurricane Fiona.
Yeah.
But there's always something going on, and it's always the worst ever kind of a deal. You know, we've got rainstorms that sit over some one place and dump a huge amount of rain.
So Sandy, I hate to cut you off, but mm-hmm. we have some femininity this early in the morning who wants to chime in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maria from Wauwatosa. Good morning, Maria. How are you?
Mary from Wauwatosa, formerly 53rd Street. But hey, Earl and Sandy, I just want to say what a welcoming sound it is to hear your voices first thing in the morning and to know the positivity in your messages. It's really a good way to start a day. Thank you.
Well, Sandy, what that's...
Well, thank you. My spirits are lifted.
Yeah, so are mine.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's good. Always good to hear your voice, Mary. You know, and you know, how you been doing?
Formerly at 53rd Street.
Yeah, that's my old neighbor. It's good to hear from you. Every time I walk past your old house, I think about you. But
thanks for your message. Just really, really good way to start the day. I'm going to sign off now.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. So, Sandy, we sometimes wonder if there are any women listening.
I never wonder that.
Oh, okay. Well,
this is all part of your... Okay.
This is all part of our what?
I don't know. I'm wondering. I never got gender specific about who our listeners
no.
might be. But it's to our callers.
Yeah.
Definitely skew male.
Because we're always talking about these, you know, aggressive kind of subject matters.
I think it is that the male personality likes to be front and center, talking and leading and making impressions, and the female gender is much more thoughtful.
So apparently you don't watch...
Less narcissistic.
Apparently you don't watch Fox News.
I don't watch Fox News.
Okay, well...
No.
Well, that's pretty aggressive women on there.
Ah.
Yeah. I mean...
I didn't say anything about aggressive. None of what I was saying had anything to do with that, but... You know, back to the weather. I think we're getting on thin ice, quite frankly.
But I'll tell you this.
Gotta get his camera. Bro.
You see, I've got on my sweatshirt, and I got this morning. I said, "Well, I think the short pants that we're done with that. We'll pack them away."
Mm-hmm.
But listen, it's not done. We still got a little time left. You know, there's still leaves. On the trees, we're early in this, so all is not lost, right?
Yeah, I think by the time the leaves are falling, we could have a recession. I'm just trying to segue into an actual substantive conversation.
A great conversation that we're going to be having shortly. So Sandy and I are going to be talking about the recession and the economy. And, yeah, you could say, well, you guys talk about that a lot. Yeah, but, you know, the movement on recession and the conversation about it has been ramped up, and our Federal Reserve with Jerome Powell clearly making overtures that he hasn't made as openly as he did recently. We've got to do this.
Well, I mean, we can talk about it after the break, which I think is upcoming, but. You know, it could be that the Fed acting more aggressively is a way to actually avert recession. You know, what they need to do is squash inflation, and if they can keep an inflationary psychology from getting a grip, then if they do that quickly enough, then you don't have to get all the way to recession. But the problem is, what kind of policies do you adopt that actually quickly get a grip on? Tamp down, you know, this is like whack-a-mole, okay? And the mole that they got to whack right now is this notion that there's an inflationary psychology that will get a grip on the economy.
Well, but there isn't one. When you look and see the same thing, they're asking the same questions in Europe, they're asking the same questions in China, they're asking the same questions everywhere.
Well, but different, and around the world there are different government central banks behaving differently. Japanese central banks acting very benignly, not raising interest rates. European central banks seem to be following America's lead and increasing interest rates. We can talk about it later, but there's a complex interplay between the value of a country's currency and the interest rates inside that country and the notion of inflation in the country. And so all of those things have to be played with. These are dials in the cockpit of the country trying to regulate their economy, and these dials, some of them don't work, some of them look like they work and don't work.
So people have gotten drunk on credit, and now all of a sudden they're going to increase the credit card rates, the interest rates
I think we haven't been drunk on credit. I think the use of credit cards was declining for a period of time. It began to grow a little bit as the pandemic has receded. But
Sandy, we got to go to break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. I asked for a dose of femininity, and we got it.
Yeah, I played that just because you said that.
All right. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And so, I've been really focusing as well as Sandy and many of us, and we've been talking about the economy, I don't know, for months now, Sandy, almost. And because we knew that. And you would constantly, we had conversations about the economy overheating. And man, things that were just, you know, just seemed to be ideal, man. People who weren't used to having money had money. And it was a spot and a time that we haven't seen in this country for a long time.
I was saying before we got on the air today that this has been a unique time in terms of having the shortage that was created by the pandemic, created by most recently the war in Ukraine and the commodity shortage that caused, by the dislocations and frictions that were put into the supply chain, starting with the trade war that Trump initiated with China. All these things created frictions and other causes for shortages and also the change in the labor market that occurred, particularly in the United States, as the result of the pandemic. So many people laid off, so many people at home working, so many people changing their minds about what they wanted to do, that suddenly we've got very low unemployment, but we have shortages of workers. There's a lot of leverage in the hands of workers right now. And so workers are going around
saying, I don't think the workers know that.
Well, yeah, I think they're beginning. They realize it. I mean, the minimum, the wages in many of the service industry jobs now exceed minimum wage by a fair amount. If you look at Walmart and other places,
right,
posting jobs in Wisconsin for $15 an hour or more.
Right.
So, you know, that's leverage on part of workers that has caused that to go up. And yet now we have inflation. And inflation, of course, hurts everybody, but it hurts most the people who have lower income, who live paycheck to paycheck. But the one of the causes of inflation is something called wage price spiral, where workers have leverage. They go in, demand higher wages. The employers give them higher wages, and then they turn around and charge higher prices to cover this increased cost. And they can do that because of the shortages. So how do you control that? Well, the Federal Reserve isn't in a position to solve for the shortage of things. That's more a function of government policies in the marketplace, right? Government policies might help solve for shortages. They could do some things like they're doing in the silicon industry and elsewhere. And then industry has to do what it can to try and readjust itself to solve for shortages. But so long as there are shortages, employees have this leverage to go in and ask for more money, and then prices go up. Or at least the higher wages are viewed as one of the causes for prices going up. And the Fed has to fight this prices going up thing. And in the 70s, we did have a wage price spiral, where it was clear that the ability of employees to push wages up was a factor in increasing prices. And when prices went up, that was a further cause for employees to go in and say, I need more wages. So it was a wage price spiral that was an inflationary thing. Inflation is a psychological phenomena. If people believe prices are going up, they're going to behave today in a manner. They're going to buy things now rather than later. They're going to behave in a way that's going to drive things up. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If that self-fulfilling prophecy leaves the psychology, inflation goes away.
You know, Sandy, I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person who does some grocery shopping who's listening to us, and I can't help but notice how small the packages are of what we are buying. They've been downsized everything, and the prices are up on all of those things. We lose twice.
Our last show, you pulled out your hostess.
Yeah.
And said, look, it's smaller and more expensive.
So everything has gotten, you know, I wanted a can of
Inflation. I mean, there's multiple ways you get inflation. Obviously, you're paying more for per unit of whatever you buy. That's inflation.
So
they can knock down the units and keep the price the same, or they can increase the price and keep the units the same.
So I bought a can of corned beef hash, and it was so small, and the price of it was so high that I had to hesitate whether or not I was going to pay that. But and I don't care what it is, these things have, and I'm wondering if I'm the only person in the listening audience who's noticed how much smaller these packages have gotten.
Maybe instead of ounces, they'll start in terms of carats, like diamonds. I got a 10-carat can of...
But you know, Sandy, I'm laughing, but for families, this is an issue.
Well, no, I mean, so like I said, inflation. This is the problem.
Especially large families.
This is the problem with business. business cycles generally, and with the government trying to control business cycles, is that business cycles tend to hurt Tom, Dick, and Mary the most. People with lots of money have a big buffer. They have a big cushion against real pain.
Right.
Okay? They can have psychological pain. They can go from having $40 million to $20 million. They have half as much money, but you know what? They have plenty.
So that can of corn beef. So that can of corned beef that I gave a second thought to.
They don't think.
I know. So I mean, that's the point.
Yes.
But yet many people, so many people, we hear that their wages are going up, but not commensurate
with
the inflation. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
That you were all I need.
Hi, I love thinking of all the kisses you could give me if I came around.
Never special thing I could say.
Every time I think about it,
all right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams, my co-host. And Sandy, I wanted to, you know, delve deeper into the economy, recession, what all of those things mean, because it's coming. Walk us through, Sandy, the domino effect of what you see is getting ready to happen.
I mean, what happens is you've got inflation, and inflation can be a very difficult thing, because when you have growing inflation, it keeps growing. It's called runaway inflation. So you have 8% inflation now, then you have 10%, 11%, 12%, 14%. And inflation makes an economy impossible to operate. Ultimately, it turns into the German inflation, where you've got a wheelbarrow full of money to go to the grocery store and you go right away because that money's not going to be worth anything tomorrow. So you need to control inflation. To have a useful economy, whether it's a socialist economy or a capitalist economy. So how do you do that? Well, if the current inflation is caused by shortage in large part, so you could try to cure the shortage, but there isn't much the government can do to cure a shortage, and the shortages we have a fair amount of there's a fair time gap between deciding you're going to cure the shortage and curing it. You've got to build chip manufacturing plants to get more
chips. Which doesn't spring up overnight.
Doesn't spring up overnight. You've got to train more nurses to get nurses. You've got to train more of these people or that. There's a lead time to everything. So the fixing of the shortage side takes time. The hammer that the government has, the tool they've got, is that they can start withdrawing money from the economy so that it's harder for people to bid the price of things up, making inflation less likely. So all that the Federal Reserve has the capacity to do is control the amount of money available in the economy, and they do that by making it harder for members of the economy, participants in the economy, to borrow money. So when they raise the Federal Reserve rate and raise interest rates, it makes it more difficult for businesses to borrow money to make investments to build new factories or buy new equipment. And those are the kind of things that employ more jobs, and they also are the kind of things that cure shortage. Raising the interest rate takes money out of the hands of Tom, Dick, and Mary, and the money it takes out of their hands is not the money they earn, it's the money they might borrow to buy things. So when interest rates go up on installment debt, and when interest rates go up on mortgages, it's harder for Tom, Dick, can marry to borrow money to buy a house. They'll buy fewer houses. They won't bid prices up on houses. That'll affect the real estate market. And they won't borrow money to buy cars, or they won't borrow money to buy washing machines, or they won't borrow money on their credit card to buy more clothes in a luxury clothing goods store, in a department store. So it affects generally the churn rate, the rate at which money is spent in the economy, by taking money out of the hands of Tom, Dick, and Mary, the money that they would borrow. And those two things have a quite a significant impact. Ultimately, the withdrawal of money from the economy in that fashion brings on recession. Recession meaning that the employers aren't selling as much. Why aren't they selling as much? Because Tom, Dick, and Mary aren't buying as much because of the interest rates. The real estate market isn't building new houses because the mortgage rate is making it harder to buy new houses, so people employed in the real estate industry don't need to be employed at such numbers anymore. And in the rest of the marketplace, the stuff that is sold to Tom, Dick, and Mary, cars and appliances and luxury clothes and all the stuff in retail department stores aren't selling as much, so they don't need to employ as many people in the chain there. So now what do you have? You've got recession. So when you start hitting inflation over the head with interest rates, when you ultimately hit it over the head hard enough, it can cause recession.
So Sandy, you can't. And even once recession comes
recession,
in,
incidentally, lays off the jobs of Tom, Dick, and Mary. So now you can only spell, you know, you got to, de, ma. You know, you've only not as many of them are employed. And so now you've got real hardship. I mean, the hardships start with the treatment of raising interest rates and making it harder for Tom, Dick, and Mary to buy things. And then the ultimate harm is caused when Tom, Dick, and Mary get laid off from their jobs, or some of them do, because of the recession. So we've been having the Fed talk about a soft landing, this dreamy concept that we can control the inflation without causing a recession. And I would argue that the gradualism that the Fed used by raising interest rates by 0.5% simply didn't persuade the world that they were going to control inflation. And if the world, unpersuaded, continued to have this inflationary outlook of buying things and bidding the price of things up, so then the Fed has gone to something like hitting the nail harder with their hammer. Now they're at 0.75% increases, 0.75%, 0.75%, 0.75%, and clearly inflation hasn't tapered off very much. It's slowed down. So now the question is that hard enough? Are you hitting the hammer? Are you swinging the hammer hard enough on the nail? And clearly, Jerome Powell is saying, I'm going to start talking about Paul Volcker. I'm going to start talking about really focusing on inflation, because we have to take away inflationary psychology. If they could have stopped inflationary psychology, you know, 3 months ago and stopped inflation, it would have been a soft landing. But the question is, how do you do that? And they were afraid that raising interest rates 2.5%, you know, some super blow,
right,
would have been too much of us, you know, that would that have been too much? Would that, you know, that clearly
it would have been a major shock to the economy.
But maybe in retrospect, because that's what Volcker decided, is you need a major, you've got to really wield your hammer in such a way that everyone sees it and realizes it might hit them over the head, and then they say, okay, there's not going to be inflation.
So that's when Volcker was in charge of things under Jimmy Carter,
and then
we saw, yeah, and we saw the outcomes of those things. But Sandy, I will say this.
Well, the outcome was harmful in the short run, but it put inflation to sleep for 50 years.
Yeah. Well, here's the other part of it, Sandy. Inflation doesn't just die slowly. I mean, quickly. It's going to die slowly.
Maybe it's going to die slowly. I mean, actually, Volcker, if you look at the rate of decline, it died pretty quickly.
Yeah, but he dropped a bomb on it, as you stated. Yeah, I'm talking about the way they're doing it now.
He nuked it. Well, that was I think the way they were doing it now, the idea that they could kill it slowly might have, but we'll see that maybe that was fallacious, that was delusional, because Wall Street has spent all of its time now trying to read the tea leaves, meaning the stuff that's left in the bottom of your teacup.
Right.
What does that mean? and they're trying to read the tea leaves. When the Fed raises interest rates, they aren't really looking at the level of interest rate rise that the Fed is doing. What they're saying is the Fed, by that interest rate rise, is signaling to me that they think inflation is going to go away with this. Okay, so for the financial community and the stock market has been operating as if they think inflation is very temporary, it's going to go away, and the Fed has been signaling that by these little small things they've been doing, that they've got it under control. But when it doesn't come under control, then it's like, oh, wait, you know, inflation is there. And meanwhile, if people believe that if the underlying things that are causing inflation continue to prevail, then this inflationary psychology can build up.
So, Sandy, just for the sake of clarity, inflation is not a Democratic thing. It's not something started by Democrats that Republicans can fix. That has nothing to do with anything.
In fact, Republican policies. First of all, Paul Volcker was nominated by a Democratic president, and it was so. If you want to attribute a political party to Volcker, which would be altogether incorrect, it would be he was a Democrat, and he's the one who fixed it last time. But the fact is that it's the Republican policies, the tax cutting policies, are inflationary. Okay, so that's not going to fix inflation. And inflation is something that requires care. One of the things that was really supporting the loss of inflation in the past was globalization. And globalization, everyone now understands, was probably the strongest underlying current that was causing inflation to be held in check. Because it was always going to be cheaper to build something someplace else, and potentially, and so that caused wages not to go up, and also it put a curtailment on price increases, because if you made the price of something too expensive, they'd build it in Taiwan or Vietnam, and they'd build it cheaper. So it was putting a real throttle on both wages and prices.
So, and I know we've spent some time on this, Sandy, but I think it is really important, because Jerome Powell clearly made it clear that they're not playing anymore. He said, however many times we have to do this again and again and again. And to me, that signaled a change.
Yes, and he even said, we're going to do this until it hurts, and it probably is going to hurt. It's kind of like the father standing with a belt in his hands and saying, if you don't stop,
yeah,
you know, or you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. He was basically trying to send that message that inflation is going to stop, so stop behaving today like there is inflation, because buying it today because it's going to be more expensive tomorrow is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If everyone does that, it gets more expensive.
So, Sandy, does it matter whether we get our arms in this country around recession? Inflation, and the rest of the world comes behind us? Will we see a change ourselves, or does the global market have to?
Well, we are such a powerful influence in the world economy that, like, you know, they've always said, when the United States sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. If we could get our arms around inflation, it would have a serious impact on the general inflation in the world, on general goods. You're going to continue to see a great deal of volatility of commodities, because commodities are always volatile. Okay. When corn is in short supply, the price of corn goes up. When oil is in short supply, the price of oil goes up. When the world gets a little too much oil, the price of oil falls very quickly. Same with corn. So let's take commodities out of this and just say that if we can get our arms around the inflationary psychology that everything is going up in price, then it'll have a significant impact in the world generally, or at least it'll have a lasting influence on the American economy.
You know, sorry we couldn't bring you any better news, but the truth of the matter is, you know, this is happening, and it is impacting and affecting people. daily now. And so it's only going to get worse. So my whole thing, Sandy, why I asked you to really spend some real time in walking people through this, that they understand this is not just a blip. This is going to be going on for some time. And I remember recessions that lasted 3 years, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There have been recessions, a number of recessions in our lifetime that have lasted many months, you know, going into years.
Right.
You know, one thing that's right now, the recession is not being, or the inflation is not being, it's being experienced, and it's definitely hurts, but it's not a killer yet, because jobs are continuing to grow, and there continues to be a demand for employees. And because of this shortage of employees, I mean, unfortunately, it looks like the cure for the shortage of employees
is recession. Is
not going to be an increase in the number of workers. It's going to be a decrease in the demand for workers caused by recession. And so that'll be a painful way to solve the problem. And hopefully the inflationary psychology can get quenched quickly, so that we don't have to get into a deep recession.
All right, got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And I mean, we are taking probably what would appear to seem an inordinate amount of time talking about the economy and a recession and supply chains and all those things. And so our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, Sandy, I was just saying during the break about, you know, early on when we first started a meeting and me having you on the air, you started talking about, and I never will forget it, if Donald Trump messes with the supply chains and China.
Yeah.
Never will forget it. You predict, what's that, 4 years ago? Maybe almost five years ago.
I think the world wasn't quite aware enough of the complexity of the supply chains and how much messing around with the supply chain could mess around with, in a big way, with potential shortages. For instance, the automobile. You look at an automobile, it's all steel, right? Well, what's making them in short supply now are silicon chips.
Right.
You know, and maybe only just 10 or 12 different kinds that are vital to them. So, you know, you end up having to get a car that doesn't have its, transponder chip or something, so that they can build the car, and they tell you, well, it doesn't have this, but we'll add it later. Playing with the supply chain and the whole trade war with China, we're going to find out over the next decade. Historians will look back at it, and they'll see all the different kinds of fallout, the increased tension we have with China, the Taiwanese tensions we're having. A lot of things are going to be played out as the result of the situation that was created by the trade war that Trump started with China.
Hey, Gene, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, guys. This is a great show. This is very, very helpful. And, Sandy, I have a question for you, because this is so important, and if you have some ideas, I think it would be very helpful for all of us. You know, how do we address the psychological issues related to inflation? How can we counter the psychological impact? You know, we as people who are listening to this or talk about this or, you know, rationalize this in our own head, how can we reduce the impact, the psychological impact of this inflation word.
Well, I mean, inflation, there is a psychology that is a general psychology out amongst everyone in the marketplace that creates inflation, and the psychology is that things are going to be more expensive tomorrow, so I'll buy them today. I won't save money today because that dollar is going to be worth less tomorrow than it is today. I'll spend it today because that way it's sort of the economically rational thing to do. If I'm going to buy a car and I know I'm going to buy it in the next 2 years, I'll buy it today instead of waiting 3 months or 5 months for the price to go up, because that'll cost me more money than I'll be spending this, you know. So you got to break that rationale down. I mean, what the public needs to start doing is saving money rather than spending
money. But it's harder to save the money during recession.
Well, I know, but I mean, the general problem in the marketplace is this rush to spend the money today rather than deferring spending the money until a later day. And if you just spend it on the schedule that would be normal for you, then you wouldn't have inflation. But what inflationary psychology does is it pushes our schedule ahead so that we buy the car today instead of waiting. We buy the appliance today rather than waiting. We do it all because we know that it's going to be more expensive if we wait, and we aren't going to be earning more money later than we are now, so we better buy it now. And so that's a psychology that is a mass psychology. I'm afraid I can't tell anybody, any individual, how to cope with the damage that causes to us personally. But to the extent that we could resist the impulse to buy it today, and we could defer buying it today and spend it later, like tomorrow, then if everyone did that, we wouldn't have inflation. And also, it might well be smarter not to just simply expect inflation. But, you know, people in the 1970s were entirely correct to assume that if they waited, it was going to be more expensive.
You know, Gene, it's why I've had Sandy just go on for all this time, because this is coming. And it doesn't matter whether we stick our heads in the sand or not, it's coming. And so even though, Sandy, people might say, you know, I'm going to buy it now because I don't know how much it's going to cost tomorrow. They're right in that assessment. It may be tomorrow more than what I can even ever think of. I understand kind of why they buy it now.
Well, except that in the world where if a recession is in the offing and layoffs are potential out there.
Yeah, you don't want to buy it and be stuck with it.
Well, no. Then you maybe ought to pull your horns in every conceivable way today in order to be ready for that bitter pill when it comes. And that in itself cures inflation. So if people actually, that's why the Powell is today talking about how he might cause a recession in the future, because he wants people to pull their horns in.
So, Sandy, before we go to break, it's different depending on your age demographic. Younger people don't know much about the recessions who have come in, who are, you know, 30 years old, 25 years old.
Yeah.
They don't know much about it. They haven't seen it. They haven't really experienced it as much as those of us who've been around.
Well, and the other thing is that I talk about pulling your horns in as if there is money that's discretionary that you could defer spending.
Right.
And of course, the less money you have, the less disposable discretionary money you have to spend. So, but if you're accelerating the purchase of something, that means that's probably somewhat of a discretionary dollar. And so what they're trying to do is to get people to spend less of their discretionary dollars today and to defer spending it until tomorrow. And that could quickly take the edge off the demand side and would defer price increases. But this is all complicated, and it's made much more complicated by the very complicated labor market we have today.
All right, so those of you on the line, we're going to have to, you know, you're a little late. We're going to change the subject. The next hour, we're going to be joined by Maria Castillo. She's a community outreach coordinator for Milwaukee County Children's Community Health Services, and David Muhammad, who's deputy director of Milwaukee County Department of Health and Human Services. Sandy's going to join us again in the 10 o'clock hour. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.